welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is the Alex Jones Network here on Sunday Night Live. And we're just cutting through all the noise, you know, and Minnesota always gives us great examples of the crisis in our country. But this last week, I mean, I was compelled to just jump on and do a live because I was watching all these Minnesota Republicans pretend like they were more hardcore conservatives than Mike Lindell. And I'm like, what is this? What am I watching here? You're talking about people who said President Trump's too extreme. The MAGA base is a problem. That we should do away with the endorsement process and the caucus process because the MAGA base of Minnesota Republicans don't have a clue what's going on politically, and they're dumb or uninformed or uneducated. They're stupid. They're in a cult. These are all things that I've heard on the campaign trail time and time again. And from those same people came recruits like Michelle Tafoya, Adam Schwarzy, Kendall Qualls, Lisa DeMuth. I'm just telling you how it really is, folks. And what's sad about it is even some of the MAGA people in Minnesota know that to be true, and they've still created some workaround, some justification in their head based on election strategy, which is super gay. It's dishonest. It's dishonorable. But it's just gay and corny in my world. Like in the bro world and the dude world, you're stupid and you're gay for thinking, oh, yeah, I know they're a rhino, but they can win. What do you really win? What do you gain if you lose your soul? Not to be too, you know, biblical and poetic, but what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And it's a question we have to ask ourselves right now, a serious question. Like, okay, we're at the height of human civilization, the height of known human civilization. We got AI in front of us. We got another industrial revolution in front of us. We got the internet. We got all of this technological advancement. How much is enough? How much do we need? How much is enough? And at what cost? How much do we need? How much is enough? And at what cost? To our soul, as individuals, but as a nation, as a collective species, as a civilization. These are questions we're going to have to answer. I mean, we can dance around them all we want to, but that is the question on the table. And all the easy questions and all the easy answers are behind us. There's no easy answers. There are going to be some hard sacrifices need to be made. One of the easier sacrifices, I think, on the front end of this pretty pivotal moment in human history, one of the easy answers on the front end is, don't elect people who constantly smile when they talk to you on their stupid political ads and infomercials. Don't elect those people, please. For the love of God, do not elect people who sit there and talk to you with a constant smile like they can't move their face. Please, for the love of God. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to think that person is going to go hold the line for anything, you know, anything serious? It's like, I'm Lisa DeMuth. I was the former Speaker of the House that was there with the Republicans when Tim Walz and all the other stupid gay communists ran the state into the ground. I didn't do anything when I was the Speaker of the House on the Republican side, but I promise when I'm governor, I'm going to do something then. All I hear it's like even the political ads in general. Now, granted, the guy out in California, he has some good AI political ad. You know who's got a badass political ad right now? Maybe the best political ad I've seen in this entire election cycle is Fishback's lieutenant governor down there in Florida. And I posted a comment on the video that the guy Lozado or whatever his name is, and he's just like, he's an ex-cop or whatever, and it's just like, here's my lieutenant governor. And they got this sharp cutaway to, you know, him being a cop. He's chasing a guy down. He's got a guy pinned down on the ground, and he says, if you reach, I'll smoke you, MF-er. And it's just like, I had a comment. I said, oh, that's how you guys are coming? I love that. Right. But all these other political, they're stupid and corny and gay. And, you know, boomer cons, you know, they love them. And it's why the country is in a death spiral. Stay tuned. We're in the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be right back.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and make the purchase now.
The Patriot's choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching the Alex Jones Network. And we're just cutting through the noise this evening. Sunday nights, great to be back, dealing with the lettuce flu, I think. Who knows? Hey, maybe Israel sent me one of those super advanced viruses in a pill. Maybe they have these like directed energy weapons where they can like send you a virus through the airwaves or something. I read. I don't know. But I won't take any money from AIPAC regardless. Right? I mean, we'll just have to take our chances with the flu and the targeted the laser guided the direct energy weapons and the Havana syndromes and the cool pagers and whatnot. We'll just have to roll the dice. We're rolling the dice this weekend and into the foreseeable future because these are dangerous times, you know. But it's not only Israel. I hate the every answer is it's the Jews. It's like, guys, stop. Stop. We've been down this road already, okay? Israel is a problem, obviously. And we told you, Mr. President, we told you you can't trust them. Israel's a problem. But you know what? I don't trust any of these people. That's why I say we need a moratorium on all immigration. You know what I really can't stand? What I really can't stand is our affinity for Europe. You know, that even more gay than our cucking for Israel or our being the tributary for the Communist Chinese Party because we're lazy and don't want to manufacture our own action figures or whatever the case may be, right? Lug nuts, more important, essentials. Antibiotics, apropos to the biological attacks. But our kind of just superficial affinity for Europe. See, like, I knew this country was in a tailspin when the conservatives cried, the Muslims are coming. Take cover, get ready, my God, the Muslims are coming. And then the king comes to visit America, and we all applaud, even though he's given his continent and country over to Muslims. It's like, what kind of racket is this? You know, and that's why I fail to gain the traction that you would otherwise assume, partly because I don't wear, you know, I'm not in it for show business. To me, it's not show business. To me, if I wanted to be an actor, let's say, if I wanted to be an actor, seriously, number one, I'd probably do voiceover, right? Like the great Earl James Jones. I think it was Earl James Jones. You know, the Lion King guy. Is it Earl James Jones? James Earl Jones, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, a little dyslexic. Okay. James Earl Jones, right. I do voiceovers if I wanted to be in show business. Or I'd go to Hollywood, sleep out of my car, cross-dress on the weekends at the underground speakeasies, blow a few Hollywood producers, and get a nice, you know, career-changing movie role. This ain't show business, folks. And I would never do that kind of thing, obviously. But you get my point. It's doable. Especially for me, it's doable, actually. Actually, I had people come to me multiple times like, why don't you just get into show business, do movies or do something like, you know, what they're really saying is come out of politics. This is the devil saying, come out of politics. We can give you the fame and the glory and the trappings and the financial security. You can live in one of those beautiful, elegant, sleek, modern houses in the Hollywood Hills where your neighbors are doing microdosing LSD and doing satanic rituals with human trafficked children, you know, a few houses down, and it could be all good. But this ain't show business for me personally. So I just, again, like I said in the last block, imagine seeing one of these corny political ads that they run and still believe in them. Like, hi, I'm a strong candidate. I went to law school. I was in the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts of America. I was Miss America. I was a this, I was a that. And now I have a wife and three kids. And I'm the consummate example of the American family, man. And as the ad goes on, you can literally hear the masculinity leave from the voice of this hypothetical fruitcake. And that's what happened to this country. We all know it. We all know what happened. Bring back up the pictures. Can you guys in the studio there, can you bring back up the pictures of the Republican elected officials? Let's do the Republicans, please, because we know that the left, I mean, we know they're a ragtag bunch of stupid gay commies. Let's bring back up the Republicans who we elected. Okay. And you just look up and down the line, and it's like, how did these people convince America? Zoom in on them. Let's see them up close, okay? How did these individuals convince the greatest nation of citizens in the history of human civilization that they were tough enough, gritty enough, even cool enough, had the courage to conserve anything? These people don't even look like they're going to conserve anything. How did they pull this over on us? Look at these folks. I mean, it's like, I feel differently about it, because it's like, if you come to in my neighborhood, you come to the playground, it's like, maybe you can play and we're getting it wrong. But mostly if you walk like a duck and you talk like a duck, you probably can't play no ball. You probably don't know ball. You probably can't hoop. And every once in a while, you get the Billy Hoyt, right? Remember, White Man Can't Jump. You get the Billy Hoyt who comes to the park and everybody thinks he dresses like a square and, you know, he can't hoop, he can't play no ball. And all of a sudden, you look up and he's splashing you with the three. And it's like, dang, he can really play some ball. That does happen, but that's the exception, not the rule. The eye test of our United States Senate and United States Congress is exactly why the Congress, the Senate, the White House, and the conservative-leaning Supreme Court are all soft on foreign invaders. What did you expect from these people? Honestly, it's almost kind of sadomasochistic that we, you know, there's a good highlight. Who brought that up in the studio? Somebody knows ball. White Chocolate, Jason Williams. There's a guy who you might not think could play no ball because he's a white guy, but he had more flavor. Let's just make this clear as an aside. Jason Williams, also known as White Chocolate, might have the most style of any basketball player in history. Honestly, he was that slick with the basketball. So, but he was the exception, not the rule. And there are exceptions. We know there are exceptions. Not a handful of those folks in the Republican United States Senate are an exception. They ain't Jason Williams. Let's say it like that. They ain't Jason Williams, okay? They ain't the exception. They're the rule. They're old. They're stiff. They're dishonest. They have a lack of sacred honor. They've been bought and paid for. And I'm just getting lost in these Jason Williams clips right now. Look at this guy. I mean, see, when you grow up in a basketball world, there's like, you can either do that with a basketball or you can't. There ain't no in between. There ain't no esoteric jargon that you could try and lie and justify. Either you can back tap a basketball in motion with your elbow or you can't. If you can, we tip our hat and we respect you. If you say you can and then you get out there and you can't tie your shoelaces, we just, you know, next. And I'm looking at this entire Republican lineup from top to bottom, folks. I'm telling, I'm just being honest. There's a few, you know, there's a few folks in there that I kind of, I'm like, all right, okay. I feel you. I like that. Like Tim Burkett. Okay. Is it Burchett? Tim Burkett. Okay. I'm not sure exactly how to say the last name, but I like him. I like him. A little bit too much AIPAC money for my taste, but I like him, right? Paulina Luna, she's out there trying. She's out there taking some chances. Very good looking. Not good looking enough for me to turn my blind eye to some of these concerning things, but okay, let's see what she's got. Eli Crane, I like him. I like him. He's out there trying to take some chances and whatnot. There's some other people. I'm missing some. There's some sprinkled through there. You know, but what's his guy's name? Mark Wayne. You know, it's... guys, what do you want me to say? I don't like these people. I don't think they're tough. I don't think they're gritty. I don't think they're cool. I don't think they have the courage. I don't think they have any type of qualities that President Trump has, to be quite honest. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying that we have to be able to find hundreds of President Trumps, because you don't find hundreds of President Trumps, but can we at least get some real, yeah, there he is. Oh, there he is. Mark Wayne Mueller, whatever his name is. Mister, I'll come down there and fight you, right? Mass deportations, arrests. We want the arrests. We need the arrests. Let's not say we want them. We should stop saying we want arrests. We don't want them. We need them. You know, because justice is a very fragile idea and mechanism. Justice is. We need arrests. I feel like me and Alex Jones will get arrested before these deep staters. There's a better chance that myself and Alex Jones and a bunch of other look at the Tate brothers, and you know, that outfit that Andrew Tate got arrested in was super gay, no doubt. I mean, that was super gay. No man should be out. Listen, don't be showing your ankles. You're a grown man and you're not wearing shorts. You're explicitly not wearing shorts. Do not show your ankles, especially not a lot of ankle. Telling, especially if you wear a purple silk shirt and Andrew Tate, I'm saying it looks gay. Regardless of what I think about the outfit, regardless of what I think about Andrew Tate's lifestyle, yeah, there it is. There it is. You know, and yeah, it's the shirt's a little too tight, and it's a color of purple. I just not liking. That's not even the point. I'm just being. Andrew Tate would think it's probably funny. But all in all, the fact that we would ever consider deporting, extraditing anybody for the United Kingdom is a damn disgrace. When they start deporting the millions of foreign invaders that have taken over Europe, then we'll even have a conversation with them about some of their extradition goals. But while we continue to subsidize the entire European continent's defense, we're not going to be taking any time to extradite anybody for you. Anybody. Even furthermore, because we know that the woke ideology is taking over Europe, especially in the UK, and we don't have a single scintilla of reason to believe that any of these trumped up charges that come from these woke British courts have any more legitimacy to them than the Me Too cases and things that come up from our own courts, from our own culture in our own country. See, and you just have to be able to draw that hard line, and I think people have trouble with that distinction. It's like when a man shows too much ankle, that shit's gay to me. But we should never extradite anybody on behalf of the UK. I want to see Dr. Fauci in cuffs. I want to see some of these United States senators who are probably conspiring with our national mortal enemies to keep the Save America Act from being passed. I want to see them put in handcuffs. I want to see them detained and perp walked. I want to see them have to call in some lawyers like the great Alex Jones had to do, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of their ill-begotten gains on lawyers so they can defend themselves against we the people, them versus the United States of America. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan getting handcuffed. Are you kidding me? And some of you cuck-servatives are so cucked. You actually make a workaround like, we do need to make 20 million deportations, but the Tates are despicable people, so we should start with them. Shut up. Shut up, you Michelle Tafoyaites who talk about mass deportations as a political idea, but as soon as somebody turns their head and looks the other way, you're over there fondling your Michelle Tafoya dolls. Sending her money. And she's a Dignidad Republican. Dignity, huh? Where's the dignity for the American citizens? Where's our dignity? Where's the dignity for the American people? Where is the dignity for American citizenship? That's the dignity I want to talk about. I don't need no Dignidad Act. No. But, you know, you all haven't had enough yet, and I'm too extreme, right? Alex Jones, you said he's too extreme for years. They're still saying he's a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, how many of these conspiracies have to become true for you guys to switch your the scary part is unlimited. Unlimited. There is no limit. There's no outer boundary. The question is, for American citizens right now, the question we face, the existential question we face, what is the outer boundary of what American citizens will put up with? Is there an outer boundary? Is there a limit? Right now, there is no outer boundary or limit. We'll just put up with anything. We'll take anything. It's like, I'm in Minnesota and I've been saying to these black people for a long time, your kids can't even read at grade level. In the Minneapolis public schools, they have a $2 billion a year budget. In Minneapolis public schools, they got a $2 billion a year budget, and only 30% of the kids can read at grade level. 30% are proficient in reading and writing and math in Minneapolis, but they have time to smuggle gender-neutral dolls in for the 4-year-olds and the 5-year-olds to teach them about non-binaries. And you black people put up with that? Are you people stupid, dumb, or suicidal? Maybe all three. We call that the demonic hat trick. When you're stupid, dumb, and suicidal, that is the hat trick. And you guys are playing, you know, people play right into it. And it's just like, so I've been saying, how much are you all going to put up with? Just tell us you don't care if your kids read. If your kids know how to read, stop saying education is a priority in the black community. It's not. Because if it were, we're the Los Angeles Lakers. We invested in LeBron James. We thought it was going to be a great chance for us to win a championship. And I think if I recall, they won a championship in the bubble. So they actually won one. There's a little asterisk around this championship, but essentially, they won one. And, now he's gotten to an age where we don't know if he can get us over the hump, which is kind of crazy because he's putting up the same numbers now that he was in his prime. And I hate LeBron James politics. But again, results are results. You're good or bad by comparison. And by comparison, he's still one of the top 5 most productive players in the league. Okay, the Los Angeles Lakers have moved on. They want to think about their future. Why? Because they're looking at the results. They're saying this was the team that we had. This was the result we got. We need to go in a different direction. And a lot of Lakers fans will have an opinion about that one way or another. But mostly people are like, yeah, time to move on from LeBron James. Same black people will have nothing but Democrats running their city, schools, communities. And the results are abysmal. And they never even consider changing course. They don't even consider it. You stupid Negroes to come from the hood, so I know. You debate about the gossip of which rapper's dating this girl or that girl. You debate about who's the best basketball player of all time. It ain't you. Nobody cares what your opinion is on who the GOAT. Nobody cares what you think anyway. You couldn't do what you couldn't do what Bill Cartwright could do with a basketball. Why are you debating about Michael Jordan or LeBron? It's just a stupid waste of time. And they built an entire enterprise, an entire industry about this type of stupid, unimportant gossip and debate. You know, it's stupid. Meanwhile, the communists have flooded transgender ideologues into your public schools, and they're teaching your kids about non-binaries, and they don't even know how to read. They can't even read at grade level, but they're bringing them non-binary dolls to learn about gender fluidity. And I'm supposed to what? I'm supposed to come to the community and pander to you and talk about black issues? The issue is black people. I don't even talk about black issues. It's we're the issue. Because you got to be stupid, dumb, or suicidal to pretend like education is a priority for your community, your political platform, your political philosophy. And you let transgender ideologues bring you gender non-binary theories before your kids can even read, write, or do math at grade level. You are the issue. You. Okay, so, but, you know, they're not the only issue. They're a issue. They're an issue. They're not the issue. The issue is we have not had enough yet. We have not had enough yet. You know the song, we're not gonna take it. No, we're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. We're the opposite. We're living in the parallel universe where we'll take as much as you can give us. Yep. We're the desperate gay guy that showed up to the brothel speakeasy, the underground brothel and speakeasy, and we're at the glory hole. We'll take as much as they'll give us. That's who we are. That's who this country's become. And I mean that pun intended, because we literally are being taken over by, as I said in the cold open, transgender jihadists like Mom Donnie, who's obviously gay. I mean, and I don't mean gay in a sexual way. I mean, he's just gay like in a 1990s South Park kind of way. Super gay. And, you know, New York City's fallen. And what? I don't know. What do you want me to say? You want me to talk about my policy plan? Shut up. We need to start smacking some of these people in public is what we need to start doing. Let's stop pretending, okay, like we're going to vote our way out of this. We're not voting our way. And let's be honest. Myself and the great Mike Lindell have a primary coming up here in Minnesota on August 11th. It's not going to be secure. The elections aren't secure. We're not voting our way out of any of this. But that doesn't mean we can't get out of this. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you, is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Here on the Alex Jones Network, I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we have covered a lot of ground this evening. It's a great joy and honor to be back this Sunday. Primary coming up here in Minnesota, August 11th. If you are in the state of Minnesota, or you know somebody in the state of Minnesota, please tell them don't miss the primaries. Primaries are where elections are decided. I always refer back to a great quote from Eric Weinstein, who is a pretty smart guy himself. And in a podcast I was watching one time, he said that the primaries in America are the way they prune the political parties of the populist candidates. And I'm a relatively eloquent guy myself, but I couldn't put it any better than that. The primaries are how they prune the political parties of the populist candidates. And we are up against one of those moments here in Minnesota in two offices, one being the governor, the great Mike Lindell, and myself in the United States Senate. And there's not a more MAGA ticket. Now, again, you guys know there ain't an amnesty bone in my body. But regardless, Mike Lindell is a patriot. And, you know, the thing I'll say about Mike, Mike's not a politician. So he's not going to have a polished and curated response for every question and policy question that he's asked. You know, he's genuine. and he's got courage. And when he sees something's wrong, he'll stand up to it. He'll fight against it. And he'll fight to a fault. He'll fight and he'll give everything that he has. He's a guy that you want to have in a foxhole. He's a guy you want to be with in a foxhole. That's just what it is. That's who he is. He's proven it. His track record is proven. And that's why President Trump endorsed him. But we ran into a little snag here where, you know, respectfully, and I do say this with all due respect, you know, some of these things in our movement, we don't have sorted out yet. And that's just what it is. Like even the elections themselves. Are we early voting? Are we out there chasing the ballot like Scott Pressler with the blowout? Or are we doing same day paper ballots? I don't know. It's a problem that I don't know. It's a problem as one of the front running United States Senate candidates here in the state of Minnesota, in the cultural epicenter of American politics, you know, ground zero for this communist experiment, this color revolution. It's a problem that we don't have a unified strategy on these issues, on some of the, at least the important ones, like what are we doing with the foreign invaders? And if we're slowing down the deportations federally, then how on earth is anybody out there trying to make Mike Lindell the fall guy of our softness on foreign invaders? It ain't Mike Lindell's decision anyway. Let's be honest. That'd be for somebody like me, a United States senator, who's going to vote and be able to pass the bill, have the final say and write a pass on a bill to deport foreign invaders. So that's going to come across my desk. And when it comes across my desk, it gets stamped and approved. Mass deportations. The scary part is I'd probably be one of the lone voices in the United States Senate currently held by Republicans that supports mass deportations. And you got to ask yourself, what have you done to this country that for some strange reason we've elected all of these Republicans who say they're conservative and yet they haven't even conserved the sovereignty of your citizenship? You have to look in the mirror. That's a you question. That's a you in the mirror in the morning or at night before you go to bed type of question. What have I done to this great nation? What have we done to this great nation? We've elected all these Republicans who say they're going to conserve this or that. They haven't even conserved the sovereignty of your citizenship. And the scary part is they don't even plan to. They don't even pretend to plan to conserve the sovereignty of your citizenship. I don't even know if the word sovereignty is important to you, though. Well, obviously it's not, because back to my point, you wouldn't have elected these folks if it were. You wouldn't have elected a George Bush. I mean, it's just like, you know, I can come to you every Sunday and we can talk. You know, I have a great time talking to the American people. I'll go anywhere and talk anytime under any set of rules. I like talking to people. I like talking about issues. Men who have a robust intellect enjoy intellectual pursuits, and one of them is dialogue. So I love having a good chat. But I tend to think we're beyond words at this point. If it were up to me. Like when President Trump says 2028, he's saying it at a White House correspondents dinner, and maybe he's floating it for the first, like, you know, really starting to float it because we're getting to that point. But I'm dead serious about it. I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, all my disagreements with some of President Trump's choices, and there are a few. But even still, in my opinion, he's the best chance that we have to fix this. I mean, it's not even debatable that right now he's the single best chance that we have to fix this situation. That's I don't even think that can be debated. He's the current commander in chief. There's not even a question he has he's the best chance we have to fix this. But I also think that his personality and temperament, out of all the players on the field, is probably still the best chance we had to fix. Well, you can go with Newsom, AOC, as a protest vote in 28. Why don't you just get on the internet? Like I said, in the last few blocks, there's an entire satanic and communist underground in this country, especially in the major cities. Why don't you just go on the internet and find the emo kids who became the goth kids, who became the Marxist revolutionaries and the Antifas. Why don't you just find out where they have the weird, nasty, omnisexual orgies and go on down and just take a handful? Why don't you just start now? Because if you vote for them, it's as sure as the sun will rise, this country is getting turned into a gay paradise. Remember Gangster's Paradise by Coolio? Yeah, we're in the alternate universe where we're living in a gay paradise. But it ain't so paradise. Okay? It ain't so happy for me. Some of you all might like it. I can't stand it. I can't stand what I'm seeing. I can't stand seeing the NBA players show up to the games and they're wearing crop tops and dresses. I can't stand all these effeminate men running around here trying to say that they're that they care about and protect women because they agree with every single thing they think, no matter how stupid the idea is. I can't stand these people who say the WNBA is just as good as the NBA. Look, there's some good girl women basketball players in the world. Caitlin Clark's one of them. Aja Wilson, another one. But ain't no way in hell that the WNBA is even anywhere near as good as the NBA or that the women are anywhere near as good as the men. It's just a ridiculous proposition. But it's becoming normal is my point. As ridiculous as it sounds, it has become normal. And that is what is in store for us if we vote for these communists. What is not true, what is not real, what is not in alignment with God's natural order, what is not the logos will become normal, will become fiat. And that's probably more dangerous. It's not that it becomes normal culturally. They have made it normal by decree and by fiat. So who you got? You got Rubio, you got Vance. And this may be something a little dangerous for me to say, but hey, I don't really trust Marco Rubio. Sorry. That's just me personally. I've never met the man, so I can only say from what I see on a TV screen. And of course, that there's an proximity issue there, but on face value, don't trust him. J.D. Vance on face value, don't trust him. I hope they're doing a good job, but how well a job do I really know what they're doing anyway? I mean, do any of us really know what a Secretary of State or a Vice President is really doing every day? I mean, the amount of things, and I don't mean to sow, sow division in the camp. I'm just giving you my personal opinion. If I had to put all my money on red, okay, if I had to double down, if I had to push all my chips in, I'm not pushing all my chips in with Marco Rubio or J.D. Vance. I pushed all my chips in with President Trump in 2024. I put that on the line. Actually, I put it on the line back in 2022 when he had very few allies. When some of the people who joined the train later on weren't on his side. No problem. Because again, my pet peeve is scapegoats, and they try to make him the greatest scapegoat in the history of human civilization. No. Just out of protest, I'm rolling with President Trump because you all are trying to. This is a racket. this is a racket. You guys are trying to run on yourselves, and I'm not going to participate in it. President Trump isn't the source of all your problems. Not even remotely close. The biggest source of your problems is probably staring you right in the mirror every night. But more than that, maybe the person you sleep next to. Okay, and then you can extrapolate out from there. If you want to get to a political rung of the ladder, then look at the local politicians in your immediate area, which for a lot of you Negroes out there is the Democrats that you blindly follow. Start there. You want to go a little bit further than that back in history? Well, we got two political parties and everybody seems hell-bent to follow the two political parties no matter how much they lie or don't deliver on their promises. So don't make it seem like President Trump is the ball and chain of this great nation, because we were losing this great nation before President Trump ever decided to get into politics. And that's the truth of it. So I don't agree with everything that he does, but the bottom line is a lot of you don't like him and still reject him, because... You can't think of anything more novel to do, which is super gay. which is super gay, by the way. It's like, my default is it's President Trump's fault. Gay. Tell me something real. try again. Tell me something real. That ain't real. Yeah, so I disagree with, like, again, and I've said it many times on this show, this Iran war is not an example of properly ordered priorities. Not even close. Not even close. We cannot fight jihadism, radical Islam, or whatever else a world away when we're giving our own financial capital to jihadists in Minnesota, the cultural epicenter of American politics, to Muslims and foreign invaders. And we're still giving, it should be a federal crime to give a foreign invader a driver's license. It should be a federal crime to give a foreign invader an official form of identification in this great country where we've been subverted through a foreign invasion. That is seditious. And that should be the priority. But all that being said, Trump 2028, I know a lot of you won't like it. I don't care. I don't care who doesn't like it. I'm not in this to be liked. I'm in this to tell you how it is. How it is we can never give this country back until the elections are secure. We can never give this country back until the elections are secure and the invaders are out. That's it. Let me make it real clear again for everybody in the back. We can never give this country back to the communists until the elections are secure and the foreign invaders have been removed. And as a bonus, some deep staters are arrested. Because we just can't ensure that this nation's security, we can't ensure our own security until those things happen. And the stakes are too high for us to leave it to chance, in my opinion. Now, some people don't mind leaving it to chance because they're not really taking a lot of the risk individually. For them, the things that happen politically are kind of esoteric and abstract. For me, I feel much closer to it. One, because I'm running for office and I'm in politics and I'm a commentator. So, you know, as we know, when the night of long knives comes, the people like me who are out there on the front line, tip of the spear, speaking the truth, usually get rounded up first. So I have a personal stake in the game. But regardless, you know, nobody thinks it affects them until it affects them. It's like nobody wants to have security cameras at their house until the first time somebody breaks in to their house. And then it's like, whoa, we need security. Oh, we really do need security. It's like, yeah, you know, you always needed security. You just didn't realize it until it was up in your face. Well, again, as I said earlier, what more would need to happen for it to be up in your face, America? And say, you know, take it that over half the country, there's no boundary. Over half the, I don't know, over. Okay, I'm just being a little, you know, out there with that. But almost half of the country doesn't think there's anything wrong with the Mamdanis and the direction of the Mamdanis. And we have to accept that reality first and foremost if we want to get a proper grasp on what's going on here. Almost half the country sees no problem at all with the direction that Mamdani is taking America. They see no problem. They're in lockstep agreement with it. Ideologically, spiritually, they're in agreement with the direction that Mamdani is taking America. So what do you do when you're left with the other half of the country that can't agree either? We're not in a position where voting our way out of this seems like a feasible path. And so what does that mean? Well, it's not without precedent. It's not like our founding fathers didn't warn us about these types of circumstances and give us great guidance on what we must be ready to do. And that goes for the president. That goes to Mr. President. You know, I just got to say this to you, sir. Unless there's something I'm not seeing, and I'm certainly not stupid enough to believe there couldn't be something that I'm not seeing, but unless there's some, I'm pretty good at seeing the big picture. Even if Iran had a nuclear weapon, I mean, it ain't like China ain't got nuclear weapons. or Russia ain't got nuclear weapons. And that whole post where China and Russia gave us their word. They gave us their word? A word? Did they? Did they get the president of the country whose intelligence community is almost certainly responsible for stealing an election from the president of the United States gave us his word that they're not going to give weapons to Iran and we're going to take him on their word? Oh, really? Go figure. Go figure our national mortal enemy, one of the most tyrannical regimes in the history of human civilization, the Chinese Communist Party, gave us their word. If you're out there in the audience, let me help you out. The word of the Chinese means nothing. Why? Because they don't view you as human, so they have no sacred honor by which they're bound to keep their word to you. They don't have to keep. It's like keeping your word with the goyim. We're all goyim to the Chinese. I'm just telling you. We're all goyim to the Chinese. We're all infidels to the Chinese. So it's like, if that's the case, if you can't really ensure that Iran isn't going to get some dangerous material from their allies, ain't it probably best that we come on home and make sure we don't give our country over to communists? I don't know. Anybody out there in the audience disagree? I'm just talking on a logical basis. Now, you could say we could do both things at the same time. Sure. And maybe we can. And maybe we are. I don't see that, but it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible that we do both things at the same time, that we ensure Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon and stop the communists from taking over. But one of them we're not doing. See, then this is the cold, hard facts. One of them we are not doing. We can say we can do both at the same time, but one of them we are fundamentally not doing. And that's the one here at home. We are not making sure that the communists don't take over our country. We are not achieving that goal. And I keep saying, seeing the president say, I mean, he's saying it. He's saying, you guys better nuke the filibuster and pass the Save America Act before it's too late. But, you know, as soon as you say that, my automatic mind goes to, how long you keep asking these people? Is it really the impetus, sir, that if the Congress and the Senate, elected by the we the people, refuse to secure the elections for we the people, then you will essentially let things take their current course and give the country back to the communists? Because hell, what, the Congress and the Senate should have done something about it? That's not the right answer. That is not even, especially not for a legacy. I mean, history looks poorly on people who make choices like that. In fact, through the Chernow House of History, we only revere men who do the exact opposite when they're confronted with that type of choice. The men that we revere as heroes throughout history do the exact opposite when they're confronted with that type of choice, confronted with the choice that our Congress and Senate, Republican-held Congress and Senate and conservative-leaning Supreme Court, will not do what's necessary to save this nation. It is incumbent upon the Commander-in-Chief to say, we're suspending the rules, and we're going to save this country. And I challenge anybody out there to argue that point. So you may not like President Trump or agree with everything he's doing, but do you think Mike Johnson, John Thune, or Chief Justice Roberts are going to save this country? Do you think that Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, Speaker John Thune, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, Or Chief Justice Roberts are going to save this country? Do you really believe that? Who's over there on the other side? It's going to be Hakeem Jeffries. He's going to be Speaker of the House. In the Senate, it's going to be, who are they going to put up as Majority Leader? I don't even know. Just to throw it in our face, they'll probably put up Raphael Warnock. It's because he's like, you got to put a black guy up there who's, I'm sure, wearing a dress in his spare time. And then, you know, they're going to change the Supreme Court. They're going to change. They're going to nuke the filibuster. They're going to change the Supreme Court. I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. So, one, why would we let that happen? And I mean it honestly. I really am asking the question to Americans out there, because you got to start to get your mind wrapped around this. When I say Trump 2028, it's not a wink and a nod. I'm dead serious. And I hope he is. I really do. Because we've reached that point. And for all those out there who say, why'd they let him win in 2016? And why'd they let him win in 2024? Well, you are playing with forces that have the distinct advantage of what they call intergenerational wealth and time. So they think they can, the money and the power that really controls the better part of this world's societal function believes they can wait a President Trump out. So they can let him win a 2024 election. They can throw a dog a bone. They can throw we the people a bone, but we're going to stop everything that he wants to do. And if he gets a little too froggy, we'll put a bullet right in his head. We've seen that happen before. And maybe that's why he won't just come out and say, you know what, I'm suspending the rules. They shot Lincoln. Democrats shot Lincoln for doing it, spending habeas corpus. And you know, so it's, I get it, but I don't even see the cultural sentiment there in We the People. And I'm out there all across the country talking to people every day. I don't see the cultural sentiment and sense of urgency, because if we had it, I think even the deep state would have to take a step back and go, we got to adjust. We got to, you know, reorganize here. We got to come up with a different plan over a longer time horizon. And that's the existential game we're in now. We have to have the cultural sentiment, the collective cultural sentiment as We the People, to ensure, to force the deep staters, our enemies, to change their plans and change the time horizon of their plans. And right now we're failing to do that because, as I said earlier, you stupid conservatives actually sent Michelle Tafoya money. You actually sent Michelle Tafoya money. It's been another great Sunday Night Live on the Alex Jones Show and the Alex Jones Network. I'm your host, Royce White. I hope you've enjoyed. I appreciate your viewership and listenership today and in the future. And the future is 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Free People Radio on all social media channels. The White House with my great friend, Professor Penn. We'll see you next time. God bless you all. God bless America.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about, what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexjonesshow.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc. The flower of the Renaissance challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com.